coming up on TMS. I think the breath is better.
Can you light spaghetti on fire?
Turns out no. Hot dogs are indeed sandwiches.
Hot burrito or sister grenade?
That'll all make sense later.
Okay.
The one statue you don't want to bid on.
Making things with Bill.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In the next 30 minutes, you'll hear these rare gems plus other super souvenirs from radio's world of commercials. See how many you can remember. I'll bet you'll be surprised. And delighted. So stay tuned for a few golden words from our sponsors.
Get off the toilet!
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
Where did you get that haircut? In the army? This is The Morning Stream.
Despite the world trying to make it otherwise, this is The Morning Stream, a show that we're going to do, and we're here for you. It's Tuesday, March 27th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ebbett. Hi, Brian.
They said it couldn't be done, Scott. They said that we couldn't do a morning stream today, and I said, wait a minute, we certainly can.
Yeah, F those guys, whoever said that.
Exactly.
Yeah, screw them. Hey, we're here. All kinds of weird stuff this morning went on, but we got it sorted. That stuff's fine. As the British say, it's all sorted.
Yeah, still some technology issues that I'm kerfuffling with.
Yeah, kicking in the crotch twice and see if it moves and that sort of stuff.
Gosh, yeah.
It's a little harsh.
Wow, yeah, I was going to say that.
I don't know what that was about, but we're going to make a show regardless of whatever circumstances, and we're happy to be here and happy to be doing it. Have you ever bitten your tongue in the night and didn't know why or how? You ever done that?
I have... I don't know if I've bitten it in the night. I mean, I bite my tongue. It feels like I bite my tongue more than a human should bite their tongue or their cheeks.
Mm. I don't know what the average should be per human in terms of frequency, but I feel like I'm ahead of that frequency. You feel like maybe we do that. You do that a lot. But in my case, I usually remember when it happens. It's like, oh, I was eating that chip and I slip of the tongue there and got the old rear molar down and went and pinched it. But no, this is the thing I don't remember. Had to have happened in the middle of the night. It didn't wake me up, so clearly it wasn't all that painful at the moment. I woke
but
up
you
this
just
morning.
Woke up
oh my gosh, dude, this big old like bite mark at the bottom of my tongue. Yeah, it sucks. And guess what orange juice does to that? I had a little orange juice this morning. Zing! Zing!
Oh yeah, no, that's that's not good. No, I don't ever think I've bitten it in the night. But yeah, like I said, I bit my tongue and bit my cheeks. Normally, and the thing that happens inevitably, you bite your cheek, and then that part of it kind of swells up a little bit, and then you can't help but accidentally bite it again. And sure, you're sitting there talking like,
"Oh, I know, dude." Doing podcasts, it's like, okay, we're gonna spin up a hit from Roy Orbison from 1958. Oh shit, those hurts.
Is that what you think my show is,
Listen,
Scott? Is that what it is?
I listen to Coverville, and that is exactly what I get out of every show.
Exactly
it's you.
It is, yes.
It's you doing a Roy Orbison cover.
I wonder if that ever happens to Alex Inc.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if Alex
Inc. We'll find
Inc.
out tomorrow in the premiere of Alex Inc.
I have some stress about that show being a thing. I do.
Just because the previews kind of make it look like, hey, honey, I'm leaving my job. Oh, really? To do what? To start a podcast.
Like fun little joke there, everybody. Ha ha. You're going to build a whole series? You're going to make a 12-episode commitment here? Like, come on. I am annoyed by this. I hope it's funny. I hope they somehow get it right. But I have a feeling it's not going to be right. It's going to be wrong. It's not going to be right. How can it be right? It won't be right. How can it be right? They won't be right. It's going to make fun of the thing that you and I figured out a way to do, and it's gonna think that's funny. Yeah, wouldn't it be funny if I dropped my corporate job and had kind of a midlife crisis and started a podcast? That's a hilarious idea.
I hope Alex Inc. does for podcasting what Supernatural did for Frankenstein.
I didn't realize Frankenstein benefited directly from.
I don't think you did. I mean, that's kind of weird. You know what? I mean, if anybody could, it's Zach Braff, and I think he's even producing it, right?
Probably. He's a big enough name, sure.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to checking it out. We'll watch it.
Yeah, we have to see it just at least to tell, but I have a feeling I can't stand it. I already feel like
I hope Alex Inc. does for podcasting what LA to Vegas does for Southwest Airlines.
There you go. I hope that it does for podcasting what Enos did for the Dukes of Hazzard.
Which means it won't be around very long.
Anyway, we'll see. That'll happen. When's that air? When's that happen? Tomorrow night is the premiere.
Premiere, as they say.
The premise just gives me gas. We'll see, guys. We'll see. Anyway, if you haven't had enough Zach Braff in your life, apparently that's about to get better. So I got a quick update on the cat, the kitty. Okay. He was complaining the other day that he had really bad breath. We got all kinds of feedback at the time in the chat room.
That smells like cat food.
Basically, yeah, it was a little Ralphie moment. That's gotten better out of nowhere. So maybe he had a little something going on, a little some kind of imbalance. I don't know, but he went from one day from having the most caustic, toxic, freaking ecological disaster breath you've ever smelled. Oh my gosh, so bad. To the point that you couldn't even be in the room.
Did smelling it make you catatonic?
No, it made me want to break things and run naked through the streets. It was so bad. And he could be in the room, Brian, way over there. Yeah. And you'd just be going, oh, what is in here? What is this thing? And it's just the cat's breath. It was so bad. So out of nowhere, no food change, nothing. Just, it's better now. He can meow in my face. I can't even tell if the cat has breath.
You got to make sure the cat's breathing.
Right. Maybe he finally stole enough spirits in the night or whatever cats do when you're sleeping. They steal your breath or whatever.
That's exactly what they do. Yeah, they steal your children's breath.
Now, that's all good on the one end. And I say end for a reason, because on the other end, it's all the day after. It's all Jason Robards digging through the rubble of the first nuclear strike on American soil. It's so bad on the other end. He farts like a monster.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you meant. Okay, now I get it. Really? Wow. Yeah. All right.
Well, I don't know. Scary. He'll crop dust a room and then leave. And then Kim and I will look at each other and go, what the H? What is this? What is that smell? And the kids aren't even blaming me. That's how bad it is. If they get a little whiff of a thing, they'll be like, Dad. And I'll go, what? It wasn't me. This time it's so bad that there's no question that it's this devious little freaking cat. So all the troubles move to the rear. The front end seems fine. So chat room and people at home who send in emails, if you've got further ideas, great, let me know. We have thought about changing his food, but he seems to like it. I don't know.
I mean,
man.
That's going to be the thing, is totally the changing the food, changing the diet will absolutely change the farts. I think you need less grain or something. There is a way you can adjust it and go to like a...
The grain thing? Interesting.
Yeah, like on the whole, grain is not something you want to have in pet food, at least not as much as they put in. It's like corn and just tons and tons of corn.
Oh, like dogs or cats.
That you like want to reduce the amount of grain that they get.
And that's either a dog or a cat, right? You want to try to avoid that?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, you're right. There's a bunch of this grain-free cat food, 20% off at Chewy.com.
Oh, Chewy.
Yep, he's over there selling cat food.
Yeah, get the porks though; they're half off. Ah,
very good, nicely done. So let's see, Petco. Let's just see what Petco's got. Grain free. All right, I can pay $23.74 for how much? That looks like a small bag. See, and this is where they get you.
I would go to Petco if you have Pet Club.
I don't have that.
I know I'm breaking the first rule of Pet Club, but if you have a Pet Club in your area,
yeah,
they that's where we buy our dog and cat food exclusively, because for every 10 bags you get an 11th bag free, and you know you buy pet food constantly. So
whoa, you can get horse food there. It says
sure.
Oh my gosh, look at that! The select stores offer
Pet Club
equine food and even delivery for your horse.
Nice.
All right.
This is Pet Club. Do you have one near you? Is that what you're
looking at? I was trying to see if there's a location here, and I'm having a hard time. Oh, Arizona, Colorado. That's it. You're the only ones.
Oh, bummer.
Bastards. All right. Well, we'll figure it
Number
out.
Number one rule of Pet Club: come to Arizona or Colorado.
Yeah. Don't live in Salt Lake City. That's the answer. All right. Well, there's that. We're dealing with it. We'll figure it out. It's all fine. All right. On another subject that people may think I'm a little fixated today. I promise I'm not, but. I like to check our email. It has actually been about a week since I dug in there just because I've been busy. But I went in there today and I found an email in reply to an older conversation we had about the new bidet. So I'm going to give you two updates. One, the bidet's working great, not a problem. It's everything it was supposed to be and more. All right, we love it.
Yeah,
can't imagine life without a bidet, honestly.
I think we're going to upgrade. Right now, we've just got the El Cheapo ice cold stream bidet, which feels great in the summertime, but
yeah,
no dryer, no nothing. I mean, you have basically one dial, and it's from zero to puncture your.
Wow. Like pressure washer level, like
exactly, like you're scraping bugs off of your windshield.
Oh my gosh, it's for like barnacle removal. Okay, well,
right.
This thing has settings like that too, but it's got a warm seat, so the seat's always warm. It's got this the spray and the warm water and all that, and it's got a timer and it's got like the massager and all that. Well, and the massager is the issue, because at the time I could not understand for the life of me why you would have a massager on these things. And I asked the question, why are there massagers? And I forgot to check to see if anyone answered. Well, Paul wrote in and said the following. I was listening to the podcast of the stream from 219. So this is a while ago. It's like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And heard about your bidet question. I think I may have had an answer for the backdoor massage setting on the bidet. I used to treat wounds at a hospital. One of the methods was to use what we called a pulse lavage. Now that might be pulse massage, and he spelled it wrong. I don't know.
No, lavage is right. Yeah.
What's a lavage? I don't know what that is. It's like a
washing of your body parts, like with water, like basically liquid.
Here it is: washing out of body cavities such as colon or stomach with water. Or medicated solution. So it's a, okay. And then this is how you say it.
Lavage.
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 Oh, I could listen to that guy all day.
Lavage.
All right, but I won't.
Don't listen to Lavage Love with Dan Lavage, the new podcast from the makers of Alex Inc.
There you go. Nailed it. By the way, if there is a podcast component, like an actual like post-show discussion podcast made about Alex Inc., I'm going to vomit. Uh-huh. I'll throw up blood. I have no...
Well, I'm sure there's going to be... You mean like an official one, like...
Like, or listen, I don't want anyone to make a fan podcast. I know I can't control this, and I shouldn't tell you what to do, but nobody should make any of that. That sucks. That's too many layers, dude.
Why?
Because it's stupid. It's a show about a guy who makes a podcast, and then you're going to go make a podcast about it?
Oh, they're going to be fan podcasts of everything. I'm sure at one point there was an iCarly fan podcast.
Maybe. Well, I don't mean but the iCarly was fine. I mean, for who it was intended for.
Girl podcaster, right?
Was it? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know. I never saw it.
She was a podcaster.
I never saw that show once, so I have no idea what it is. I assume she just was, I don't know what she did. Ran around being a teenager. I'm a young teenager, boogieing and going to school or whatever. I didn't know what that was about.
There, it looks like there officially was an iCarly podcast, too.
Of course there was. All right, fine. Somebody go out there and make their Alex Inc. cast or whatever the hell stupid name you're going to give it. It's going to annoy me.
And I know that said she was a YouTuber. I thought for sure she was like a... Hold on a second.
Maybe she was just like
they used the term podcast when they were describing her.
Maybe she was just like a video vlogger type.
She may have been. I mean, she did a video podcast. But oops.
You sure it was a podcast? Like called a podcast at the time? Pretty old show, isn't it?
It's funny. My computer wants to autocorrect iCarly to Scarily.
Ooh, Scarily. Sounds about right.
Let's see. A teenager creates her own web show. Yeah, web show.
Okay, so it's like a vlogger thing.
Yeah.
That's fine. iCarly. It's kind of like what's her name? iJustine, who's real.
Right.
She's real. Yeah, that went from 07 to 2012. So, yeah, that would have been the time. I don't know. Stupid. Whatever.
Miranda Cosgrove.
She was on that Good Jack Black movie, though. The one about the music teacher. What was that called?
Oh, yeah. School of Rock.
Yeah,
she was the type A. The type A kid. Yeah.
She was super young in that, but she was very good. Yeah. Anyway, then she went on to be Drake and Josh's sister. I don't know if anyone remembers that. I caught like 10 minutes of that once when my kids were small. And now I don't know what she's doing. What's she up to now? What's iCarly up to these days?
What's she doing? Because you know she's got talent.
Now I actually want to know. iCarly, all right, we're going to look at your name there. It's the Cosgrove girl. Is that the deal?
Yeah, Miranda Cosgrove.
All right. She is currently... Hold on. Oh, she got old. She's like a regular person. I mean, she just looks like a regular adult now. It's weird. Yeah. Okay, she's, let's see, Despicable Me 3. She played a voice in Spaced Out, the movie. She was somebody named Casey. She was in the Crowded TV show. I don't know what that was. Didn't last long, I don't think. And that's kind of it. Since iCarly, not a lot going on there. I mean, I'm not poo-pooing. I wish you the best of luck there. School of Rock, that was a movie. She played Summer Hathaway in 2003. Yeah, she was really good in that. Anyway, that's not the point. What was my point? Oh, my point.
We were talking about the bidet. We really, really veered off of bidet land.
We did. So Pulse Lavage.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Oh, it's my favorite club. You can't get in, though, unless you have a ID. Anyway, it is...
careful. That might be too soon.
Oh, yeah. I forgot it's got that Pulse name in it. Oops. Sorry, yeah. Everybody. Sorry. We forgot. Yeah, I wasn't thinking of that. It is essentially a fancy water gun that runs on a battery and sends out pulses of water. It helps break the bad material away from the wound. So think about a massage setting in the same way. A constant stream is not as effective as in removing unwanted product, as he wrote. As Bobby Hill might say, as pulsing waves, which are more violent on the offensive material. Love the shows, Paul, from Arkansas. All right, so clarification, well done. I didn't realize that was the deal. I thought it was more of a like, well, now that you've done the hard part, why don't we just have a nice undercarriage massage?
Right. You did such a great job. You get a massage.
And it does like this. It goes
back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, it'll make you wish you got that undercoat. Anyway.
I'm not going to pay extra for the undercoat.
I ain't paying
for
it.
Underguard.
Yeah, exactly. So we're done. That's it for that. What else? That's it. Oh, there's a guy who's mad at me and won't listen to the show anymore. Do you want to know what that's about?
Oh, tell me why. Yeah.
I feel bad about this. He's mad because... he even said in the email, he says, I know a lot of people say that you're conservative. Some call you liberal. I think you're probably just kind of centrist, which is true. I think I'm center of the road politically. I lean conservative fiscal and social liberal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm still sort of right there, you know, just kind of in the little middle there. So he said he had to stop listening to the show because we were talking the other day about the YouTube gun dudes who ended up having to go to Pornhub because their channels were getting shut down or their content was being shut down on YouTube. And he says he just couldn't listen anymore after that because he didn't think we had the story right. He thinks the story is that YouTube is cracking down on everyone's First Amendment rights and that's the story instead of the story being them going over to Pornhub. And I think the story is that they're going over to Pornhub for our needs and our use cases. Like I don't care so much. I mean, I care what happens to people's channels, generally speaking. They're not the government, so I don't know how they can shut down your First Amendment rights. They can kind of do what they want. YouTube has that right. But saying that that these guys going off over to Pornhub is not the story? I don't know. I think that's the story. Don't you think? For us? And Brian's frozen. that's so... All right. We don't know where we were. We had a power outage. Well, Brian did. He had a power outage.
Yeah.
And,
big one that had been wiped out cell service. So I'm sitting here trying to text Scott and say, oh, power outage coming back.
Yeah, that's
and it
nuts.
For like 5 minutes.
That's crazy. I've never had that happen before. That means it was a big, wide deal, you know? Mm-hmm. All of Colorado was in the dark. You almost had.
I don't know if it was statewide. Oh, was my video frozen with me rolling my eyes?
Oh, you got to see this. Have you not seen image of
somebody
you?
Somebody put it on Twitter. Captain Kipper put it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's like you were thinking, and it just stopped as you were making the think move. And it's just special. It's amazing.
It's somewhere
shot.
Between thinking and just like fed up.
It made me laugh for a good minute and a half when I realized you were frozen. Anyway, everybody at home with the podcast, you have no idea what you missed.
Right.
So instead of making you wonder any further, might we delve into this stuff here? Hold on.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
That's right. We're going to sum up the news, and it's brought to you by
by Nikki Moore, and her latest novel, Marked, Chronicles of Kalan, Book 3, scheduled for release on Friday, March 30th, with the ebook available for pre-order on Amazon. To celebrate this release, and since the series is not meant to be standalone, the first ebook in the series, Kyrene, is available for, yes, you guessed it, I said it a second ago, free this week. Pick it up before Friday, March 30th. Links for all three books can be found on Nikki's blog, moorebooks.com. That's Moore with two O's dash books.com, or search for Chronicles of Kalan, C-A-L-A-N, on Amazon, A-M-A-Z-O-N.
Yeah, Amazon, the store. You guys know that one?
The store.
It's a,
by the way, did you pick up, I don't know if you saw people tweeting us about the Echo Spot? What's the Echo?
The clock one? The Spot.
Yeah, the nightstand one that's a Spot?
Mm-hmm.
Did you pick it up when Amazon had their special deal last week?
Nay,
20% off?
I did not. I still can't decide whether I need that damn thing. Did you get it?
I know. I did get it, and I love it.
Oh, you got it already, and you like
it? I got it. Okay. I do like it. Yeah, it's
what do you like? Tell me what you're getting out of that thing. What do you get? What do you do?
I'm getting a much more adjustable alarm clock brightness setting than I've had before, which is one thing. I mean, it's not worth $100 for just that alone.
Right.
But being able to be in the room and say, dim the lights, say her name, dim the lights to 25% because we got huge spotlights all over the place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when Tina goes to sleep, I can dim the lights to read. I can turn them off. I don't turn them off with my voice because they just wake her up.
Yeah.
But
it's like me with my brown noise at night. I have an echo in there and I'll go, A word, play some brown noise. And Kim's like, what are you doing? I was asleep.
Oh, so I didn't know that would work. That's cool.
Oh, totally. You can play white noise, brown noise, whatever. Whatever, like sleepy sounds you're looking for there. They have all that in there. It's pretty good.
Okay, I might have to try that tonight. That's cool.
Yeah,
because she likes that. She likes that noise.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'd get that through the dot now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. How's the sound in it? Is it good? Is it decent?
Sound is way better than I was expecting. I think it's better than the dot.
Oh, I mean, I kept saying dot. I meant spot. Yeah, the dot is not great. It's okay. It gets the job done, but it's not. There's nothing fancy going on with the dot. So that's good to hear. It's better than that.
The spot sounds a lot better. Yeah. Yeah. I'm digging it.
All right. And now, so what's next? Brian's gonna get the Echo Show. The Echo.
I'm not gonna get the Echo Fashion Police. Whatever the hell that thing is.
I think that one's the look. It's where it stares at you and goes, "Okay, you're gonna need better pants.
You're really gonna wear that, huh? Okay."
Good luck out there. You know, that went out of style 20 years ago, but who am I? I'm just your smart freaking camera deal unit. Anyway, that'll be fun to watch how that works out. All right. A man used spaghetti.
Man.
Actually, I have some men. Two men.
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 Men. Men.
Excelsior. They used spaghetti sauce to try to start a fire after a burglary.
Oh, they couldn't start the fire.
I mean, it's one thing.
Marinara is not flammable.
Like, dumb criminals. I get, like, you know, Jesse Pinkman doesn't know that acid will burn through anything but plastic.
Porcelain, right? Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't know that. And that's an understandable thing not to know if you weren't paying attention in science class. Right. But thinking that spaghetti sauce is flammable? You guys.
I don't know what you think. What you think. I mean, maybe if it's like a really heavy wine, vodka, marinara, something like that. I don't know.
Maybe.
But in a pinch, you can use a spaghetti, like uncooked spaghetti. You can light that if you need, like...
Kindling kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't know about kindling. But, like, if you need something lit, you're down to one match.
Yeah.
I think you can light a piece of spaghetti and use that to light all your candles if you had to.
No way. Really?
Yeah.
I want to try that. I don't know why. That's interesting to me. I mean, I know some food, like carbohydrates, will burn, so that makes sense, you know, that a piece of dry pasta would burn, but I'd never thought of that. What does it smell like, somebody's cooking, or what's the deal there? Can you smell what Brian's got cooking?
No, I don't think it, it doesn't give you the pasta smell, but it, but it does catch on fire.
Well, they tried to set this fire. The victim called 911 about 7 a.m. because the security cameras in his home on Evergreen Terrace in DeLand detected motion. He believed someone was breaking in because a towel had been placed over one of the cameras. Deputies went to the residence and saw a red Lincoln Navigator attempting to leave the area. A stop was conducted, and the driver, 28-year-old John Silva, and passenger Derek Irving told the deputy they had just picked up some clothes from the victim's home. The victim told News 6 that Irving was wearing a bull costume. Well, let's bury the lead again there, article. The guy's wearing a bull costume?
incredible costume. He's like a mascot for the Chicago basketball team.
What the heck? That was it. All right. So
they weren't really, I mean, they were trying to make the washcloth catch on fire, not the marinara sauce.
Well, yeah, but they thought that would do it. And right next to the passenger seat in the car when the police pulled them over is a big empty jar of spaghetti sauce.
So they poured the ragu into the pan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They're morons.
They're total morons. I love it, though. I think it's great. Hey, you know Ruth Bader Ginsburg? You heard of her before? She's one of the justices there, you know, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You like her?
Notorious RBG.
Yeah, yep. She's pretty great. Yeah, you know me, she'd say. Just kidding.
I'm down with RBG.
She says, we finally concluded one of the great legal controversies of all American history, and that is our hot dog sandwiches. And she says yes. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has plenty of controversial opinions in her 85 years of life and 24 years on the nation's highest court, contemplating questions like, are corporations entitled to freedom of speech, and are campaign contributions in excess or an exercise of that free speech? Does due process entitle same-sex couples to the right to marry? Do male-only military academies violate equal protection clause? But in Wednesday's appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, she decided to wade into what might be the most fraught debate of all time, our hot dog sandwiches. Her answer was yes, sort of, okay? It's a qualified yes. I'm going to read the quote.
Okay.
You tell me what a sandwich is, and I'll tell you if a hot dog is a sandwich, she told Colbert when she was asked to weigh in. Hold on,
it doesn't seem like it's very committed. Like it's,
yeah.
They're making the it's fake news. They're making the headline sound like it's exactly the thing, and she's like, well, you tell me, you describe a sandwich, and I'll tell you if a hot dog is a sandwich. She's not saying, yes, hot dogs are sandwiches.
Yeah, and does she go on to say this. She says, oh my gosh, website. The San Francisco Chronicle is a nightmare. Just a second. Okay. Mm-hmm. Holy ads.
Listen, if a cheesesteak is a sandwich,
yeah,
then a hot dog is a sandwich, because basically the only difference is the type of meat in there. So,
well, this is what Colbert says. He says, it's two pieces of bread with almost any type of filling in between, as long as it's not more bread. That's Colbert telling her that. She says, with her incisive legal acumen, she says this, two pieces of bread, she said, does that include a roll that's cut open but still not completely?
Yeah, because that would be one piece of bread with a V cut.
Exactly. So this is how they have to think, these Supreme Court justices.
But that's why I'm saying, you know, even an Italian sub is still a sandwich, even though they don't, like a meatball sub, still cut, not disconnected, not two separate pieces of meat, or two pieces of bread.
Right.
Usually. I still consider that a sandwich. So a hot dog is the same kind of thing.
She says by his definition, it is a sandwich. But it's fun to watch her basically do the legal jump around.
Why did he ask her about GIF versus JIF?
Yeah, what the heck, Stephen Colbert?
Come
maybe
on,
he did, and they
Colbert,
just didn't report it.
Missed opportunity.
Oh my gosh, who is calling me from this unknown number, and my watch is just buzzing my arm as if I'm going to die? This is annoying me. Hold on a second. Oh, what is this? Oh, I got to go. It's my dentist. All right. The translation's really good on this. You want to hear this?
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, this is David. There's no way it's David. It's always women that call me from this place. I was just call ink to you. So call and the word ink. Call ink to you. Your dooth for your 6-month blank. It doesn't have a thing in the blank. Just warranted to get that scheduled with give us a call back at you.
It sounds like the emails I get from Nigeria.
Yeah, that's really well done. Translation on that. This is the kind of stuff I get my Google phone thing or Google Voice thing when I get translations on that.
Yeah.
Terrible. They're terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's funny how the ones on the phone, visual voicemail or whatever it's called, seem to get 80% right, but almost always leave off the name. Like, hi, this is big long blank space, and I need to tell you about your dish network, whatever.
And why is that?
I don't know. It's funny that, like, even if it's something like Mike,
Are they trying to protect names or something? Like they don't want, is that?
Could be. Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know why you'd care. You it's a
press
phone call.
The play button and hear that name if you're a,
yeah,
a burglar.
Yeah. If you're two men trying to burn spaghetti sauce.
Yeah.
Here's a story about a Casper man. Casper man.
Casper man was a ghost. Now is a man.
He's a man again. This happened in Casper, Wyoming. Casper police on Saturday arrested a 20-year-old man who allegedly threw a hot burrito at his sister, resulting in a burn on her left arm.
Oh, my God. That's a hot burrito.
It's a hot freaking burrito, dude.
No kidding.
Full of molten hot beanery and the whatnot.
maybe half a beaner.
It's a reference, everybody. Go watch Breaking Bad. You'll get it.
Yes, exactly.
Brian's not a racist.
No.
Gage L. Fisher was booked into jail and recommended for charge of assault. He will likely make his initial appearance in court on Monday. A police responded to a report of an assault at 6:18 p.m. on Saturday, according to court documents. The mother of both Fisher and the victim told the officer that the two had gotten into an argument about a cup. Like you do. The cups. Mm-hmm. This is a cup. No, it isn't. Give me my cup.
Two siblings, one cup.
Yeah.
Probably with that burrito pretty much ends the same way, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Also gross. Anyway, it was about a cup, with Fisher believing his younger sister had taken the cup from which he had been drinking. What are these people, three? Turns out, no, they're like adults. The mother told Fisher to leave the house in order to defuse the situation. Fisher became angry at his mother for taking his sister's side. Fisher then threw a hot burrito, which had just been removed from the microwave, at his sister. The burrito hit her arm and caused a burn. It's probably one of those white ones, those cheap white ones you get in the big bag. You know what I'm talking about?
The convenience store burritos, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're microwaving a burrito, it's not going to be... you're probably not getting it from Qdoba or Chipotle or something.
All right, here's a question for you on the sandwich thing again.
Sure.
If I take two tortillas, one on top, one on the bottom, with something in the middle, is that a sandwich? And then what's if that's true, is a burrito a sandwich where I've wrapped it?
Yeah, see, that's a good question, because I would normally say a sandwich is indifferent to the type of bread you're using, whether it's a baguette or pita or whatever. Mm-hmm. But tortillas, does it have to be rising bread? Because tortillas don't rise. So
no.
Maybe
no, I don't think they do. Yeah. The whole point of them is not to.
Well,
right?
No, a quesadilla. It's a quesadilla if he like throws it in a pan and cooks it.
Even
but
if,
I guess you could still do that. Grilled cheese is a sandwich, and you throw that in a pan and cook it.
Yeah, that's my whole point. If it's two separate pieces. Mm-hmm. Not connected.
I don't think the connection matters. I think we've if you look at the case of Colbert versus Ginsburg, let me draw your attention, Your Honor, to
the landmark 2018 case, Ginsburg v Colbert. But yeah, wait, so is a taco a sandwich then? Because that's connected. See, I know.
No, I don't think so. No, because it's a hard shell. I don't know. I mean, again, you deep fry a Monte Cristo and that's still a sandwich.
Yeah.
And a taco shell is
how about soft taco?
Is a tostada an open faced sandwich?
Maybe.
Oh my God.
I think everything
is a sandwich.
Everything's a sandwich. Everything. It's either nothing is or everything is. You got to take a thing.
Right, exactly.
Nothing's a sandwich, everything's a sandwich.
Is a stuffed baked potato a sandwich?
Walking Glitch is right. We found Pandora's box. We've opened it. Pinhead will be here any minute with his lady with the vagina neck. We're all in trouble. It's going to be nothing but bad from here on out. Final.
Don't bring up the Taco Bell Mexican pizza. I've got a salad for lunch. I'm going to eat my salad.
Yeah, do that, Brian. Yeah,
I'm so tempted to go and get a Taco Bell Mexican pizza, but I'm not going to.
I don't think I've still ever had one. Maybe I'll do that just to say that I had it.
There you go.
Figure it out. Yeah. You know that naked Trump statue? It was all gross. It was in New York and disgusting.
Yeah, it disappeared for a while, and then it appeared somewhere else. But its proportions probably accurate, but are laughably inferior.
Yeah, yeah. If you see it, you go, oh, That seems realistic, but also horrifying, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, it's going up for auction. So if you have $20,000 to $30,000, which is what they expect it to go for, this is through Julian's Auctions. They've announced the piece entitled The Emperor Has No Balls. Geez, that's harsh, man. Estimated to sell for $20,000 to $30,000. And happens on May 2nd. So saddle up, everybody. Get ready to place your bids for your very own big orange naked Trump statue. And all it'll cost you is just right around $30,000. All right. All the next few minutes are going to cost you is a chance to listen to a good song. That's what Brian's going to play. And when we come back, we got Bill from Making Things with Bill. And we got Jerry from Jury Duty. That's all coming up now.
You raced past that so quick. I was going to say we should do a Indiegogo Fund Me kind of thing and see if we can raise money to get the naked Trump statue for TMS.
Oh, that's a great idea. Take it to Vegas with us. I could drive it because I got a car.
You could go in the HOV lane then.
Yeah, put it on. I'd have to put it on the roof because he doesn't bend at the waist or anything.
Right.
So
right.
I just have a big naked Trump on the roof.
Head first or feet first?
Let's think about that for a second. head first, I think.
Just for
wind resistance, like better aerodynamics, I think.
Right.
If you have the feet first, you got kind of a block. You know, those just stick there. But the head, you can get some air over that. I think that's the way to go. Anyway, let's play a song. We'll be back in a minute. So what do you got?
Music. How about something from Oakland, California, where one of our guests comes from, as a matter of fact.
I might have... Called...
Sorry. Gosh, dang it. Nothing works right today. Sorry.
This is a band called Wax Idols. They're a four-piece band based out of Oakland. The mutated aesthetics of varying strains of post-punk is how they're described. Wow. I like it. That's how I describe it. This is from their brand new album called Happy Ending. The song is called Scream. Here are Wax Idols.
It's all that I have left to say.
It's not always your height that counts, men. It's the way other men look at you. Don't let them look down on you. Step into Adler Elevator Shoes and step up in the world.
I might have access to a Russian MP3 site.
The Morning Stream. Computer, stop the flow of time.
All right, we're back, everybody. Oof, I had to run and get the door.
Well done.
This is hell about shape.
Was it the people calling you because your tooth for your dooth for your appointment?
My dooth appointment. No, but it was the guy from yesterday who cleaned the windows. He was here to make sure everything worked out okay. So the guy that was in my window well freaking me out. That guy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was great. Scared the hell out of me yesterday.
Right, I remember.
My wife thought that was real funny because she's the one that scheduled it. She thought that was a real hoot. All right.
I'm not going to give him any sort of warning. I'm just going to put a man in the window well right next to him.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it? Nothing is the answer.
Nothing.
All right. Punish props time. Bill Duran's his name. Making shit is his game. Oh, sorry. That guy that thinks I swear too much, I'm going to try to stop for him.
Oh, yeah.
For one guy.
We should have a swear jar. Should we do a swear jar, Scott?
Just do a swear jar. I'll just keep putting it in. Let's see what we can do. Actually, it might be fun just to test. Just to see what the average is. Maybe it'll, by itself, it'll get me to stop. Who knows? But here's this.
Let the children make it themselves. Can you tell us when you're going to make your move?
Maybe I'll make it with you.
Hey, everybody, make way for Willie.
Make way for Willie, indeed. It's Bill Duran, everybody, from punishprops.com and all things making stuff. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen.
This is a different angle than we're used to here. You used to have your camera in a different place, didn't you?
I don't know. I moved it. There's two cameras. It's like I have my Mac screen with a camera in it, yeah. And I have another webcam on top of it.
Yeah.
It decides which one it wants to use on the fly.
Well, I like this one. I like this one because the view, you're starting to look like Adam Savage's shop back there. Look at all that stuff.
Yeah, we got a lot.
Yeah,
of
that's pretty good.
What's that humongous pink or light gray pinkish machine?
It's a 3D printer.
That's
right?
The cover for my 3D printer.
Okay, so that's the sound. Gotcha.
In the winter, it gets really cold and temperamental, and I'm like, it's okay, buddy. You got a nice coat.
That's cool. And you made that? Oh, that's wood. Okay, so the color.
This is insulation. It's a pink insulation foam.
It is. Okay.
Yeah. It has a name on it. What'd you put? What's the words on it there?
My 3D printer's name is the Fresh Prince. Prince.
Oh, that's
Bill,
so stupid.
Of Bill's air.
Yeah, of Bill's air. Perfect.
Yeah. One of my other 3D printers is the artist formerly known as
Prince. Got it. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. You're now
the 3D printer from formerly known as.
I liked you already, Bill. I already liked you, but now I like you more.
I don't have a name for my 3D printer. I need one.
Do it, Brian. What are you going to do? You're the king of puns. Let's make it happen.
He could be Prince Humperdinck.
Yeah.
Prince Humperdinck. Well, who was the... I'm trying to think. It was a reggae singer named Prince.
Prince of...
I gotta look it up. It's a reggae singer I like, and I can't remember his name, which is sad.
Prince of Wishful Thinking should be your name.
That's the king of wishful thinking.
I know, but it's good because Prince you're always Buster. Hoping that it finishes, right? It's a wishful thinking is a 3D printer's best friend. Too bad.
Yeah, with mine, actually, that probably would be right. Yeah, Prince Buster.
Yeah. Chris Albert in the King.
Because that actually also would be appropriate for my 3D printer.
Yeah.
It is a Prince Buster.
That's pretty good. Well, anyway, hey, it's Bill Duran. He comes here on the show and we talk on Tuesdays about making stuff. The world of making it is a thing that people are into. Bill, I got a question for you before you go today, and that is, or before you talk today, and this is it. What is your holy grail? Meaning, what item is the thing you look at and go, one of these days, I'm going to replicate one of those, or I'm going to make one of those, or I'm going to have one of those. What is the holy grail to Bill, the guy who makes things?
Let me get my list.
I got like 5 emails this week. They all asked basically the same question, and I thought I'd better ask it.
Asking you, Scott? Like asking what your holy grail is?
No. Asking what Bill's is.
Oh, really? Okay, wow.
Yeah, what thing has he yet to make that is like his white whale? He just has to do it, but it's super out of reach right now.
All right. Let's see here.
Kind of sprung this on you.
Yeah, way to go.
I could have warned him.
It's weird. I have a list of stuff I just want to build. A lot of them, I don't know why. I'm not like, I don't actually own any real guns, but for some reason I'm way into revolvers.
Mm. That's cool.
So like the revolver from Trigun, I really want to make that, but I want to make it out of aluminum so that it's actually metal.
Trigun. That's an anime of some sort?
Yeah. Bash the Stampede.
All right. Oh yeah, look at that. Well, that's a cool gun. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to make Jim Raynor's gun again, because the first one, I think Scott has one of those.
I do. It's right over there.
I don't even have one. It's not my best work.
It was very.
I want another stab at that.
It was early work, and it was maybe some of your earliest work, and that's why I prize it. Like, sure, sure, you're way better now, but
and
something about you know, that is awesome. I love that.
You know what I'll do? I'll rebuild that. I'll make it really amazing, and then one day I'll be at your house.
Yeah.
And I'll swap them.
Yeah, and I'll never know.
I won't tell you.
That'd be really funny.
I'll take the old one and throw it in the fire.
That looks a little bit different. I wonder why that is.
Weird. I don't remember that. Oh, well. No, that's awesome.
One of my big, big builds I want to do is to build Corbin Dallas's apartment from mm-hmm. the Fifth Element.
Oh, his apartment.
The apartment, yeah, on a trailer.
Auto wash as well.
Yeah. It's gonna have all the features. And then it'll be on a trailer, and I can take it places, and I can live in it.
You know, it could be, because I was gonna say, like, you take that to Dragon Con, and you don't need to worry about housing.
Right? I know, right? Yeah,
you've got your it's a tiny house, basically, is what it is.
Bill, this is says something about you. I just searched for Jim Raynor revolver on Google Images. And the very second image, the fourth image, the sixth image, and a whole bunch of random images after that, all the way down the page, are of your original one or two revolvers.
Tag your photos and blog posts, everybody. Get your SEO kung fu up to snuff, because I wrote that crap 10 years ago, and it's still showing up.
Still up there. Somebody's got it. Somebody has it on Pinterest is where I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Look at that. All right, well, here's the thing. I think that's the gun I have. Meaning, I think you shipped that exact... I think I have that exact gun.
The one in the photos.
Yeah. Which is...
It might be. I seem to recall only making two. I think one of them the guys at Penny Arcade got, and one of them you got.
That's pretty awesome.
And the mold has been destroyed. I can't make more.
Well, I
refuse to make more.
I remain honored that I even have the thing, and I don't care if you don't like it. I love it. Anyway. Sorry, you continue on with where we were headed here. Whatever.
Today I wanted to talk about makerspaces.
All right.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. The main reason why, I just did a video on my laser cutter. People ask about how to use a laser cutter. And the main critique when I use more expensive tools, the main critique I get is when people say, you know, I can't follow along if you're using expensive tools. Mm-hmm. Like I want, and my goal with my videos is for people to follow along. Mm-hmm. That's a valid argument.
Sure.
I could design my videos and tutorials so that anyone can make the thing using the cheapest material with the cheapest tool. I could do that. I'm not gonna. Because a couple things. One, someone will always be left out, right? There will always be someone that says, all I have is a pile of dirt. I can't make this. Like, there will always be a lower tier, I guess, or a less advanced tier. So I can't please everyone, so I'm not going to try.
Sure.
And the second thing is, I really like using awesome tools and materials. Laser cutters are wicked cool, and I own one, and I paid for it, so I'm going to use that thing. Damn it. So my tutorials are designed to challenge people to push themselves, and that includes using new tools, includes using advanced techniques and tools. But if people can't afford them, that's fine. You can find a local makerspace. So, do you guys have makerspaces near you?
I do. Yeah.
We do as well. Yeah. There's like a couple around here that people
talk
about. It's a great one at the Colorado School of Mines.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's, I'm envious. I want to just go in there and make stuff, but
right.
A student.
You show up with your backpack
and
a wig. You're like, hello, fellow youths. I'm here to make things. Now, of course, this obviously isn't available to everyone. The nearer you are to a large city, the more common it is. We have a few in Seattle. There are a couple I knew about, a couple I didn't know about. I just did a Google search. But there's a bunch, and they all seem to have 3D printers and laser cutters, which is great.
Yeah.
Cool. Some of them are doing woodworking. They're building. I know the Soto Makerspace in Seattle. Last time I was there, they were kitting out their woodworking section. They have classes. They have other more common tools like drills and saws. Usually, if there's a laser cutter, you can pay to use it by the minute. So you design a cut, you put the thing in, and then there's the thing that tracks how long it takes, and then you pay by the minute to do your laser cutting.
That's super cool.
Also, they have people that know how to use the tools, which is just as important. And they'll usually do classes and stuff, too. So if you want to learn how to get, basically get certified on a certain tool, you can go there and do that.
Yeah, very nice. Now, are you, how do you know a makerspace is going to have what you need? Do you have to just go and find out? Is there some kind of cool web way of me going, oh, this one in Des Moines has the lathe I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Like,
they will frequently, I mean, every makerspace is going to have their own different thing. The one that I've been to recently, they did like an open house sort of thing, mm-hmm. or they did a meetup there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a open to the public meetup. You can go there, hang out, and ask questions, see what they have available. Usually their websites are pretty up to date on what's going on there, if they're doing a good job. So yeah, just give them a holler. Go to an open house or check out their website. They'll usually tell you if they have a monthly membership, what their rates are, what you get access to, or if they have services like laser cutting services, it'll usually tell you what that'll cost you.
That's super cool. All right, we'll do that, everybody. Go to a makerspace. I may take Nick to something. He'd love that.
Yeah.
He'd get a kick out
of it. It's pretty cool. It really gets, once you have access to those tools, it really gets your mind going. You're like, oh, I could do that now. Yeah, now that right. I have access to that thing.
Yeah,
and let him bust somebody else's 3D printer for a change.
Exactly. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
Let somebody else run out of the goop you need, or the what's it called? Your stuff.
Filament.
Oh, your filament. Yeah. Let somebody else's filament run out. How about that?
Yeah. There you go. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if folks don't have a makerspace near them, well, then you have an opportunity to get something started in your hometown. You just have to be that guy that gets people gathered. We have a guy locally who does open cosplay workshops. He has a shop, I think, just in his garage. So cosplayers will be like, hey, I'm working on this thing, but I need a scroll saw. I don't have one, so I'll save that until the weekend when there's this workshop. I'll go to this meetup, basically, and borrow some tools.
Yeah, that's super cool.
It's more of a less of an official thing, more of like a bunch of people getting together on the weekend to craft, but it's a similar thing. Pooling your resources, bringing all those tools together so that everyone can share in the knowledge and the accessibility you get with those tools.
It's going to make a better world, Bill. A better mm-hmm. world. Well, awesome. This is good advice. Go check it out in your local area, see what you can find. Turns out, I'm looking just on YouTube alone, and there are like tons of tours of different cities of different makerspaces. And
yeah, like, people went to one near Boston that was insane. It was like 80,000 square feet or something crazy.
Really?
Wow.
I'm looking at one in Ottawa that's looks like it's, I don't know if this is all just, it's all in French, but because it's Quebecian looking area, but. This is amazing. They've got VR stations where people are like programming VR experiences, and along with this whole other area where they're 3D printing crap, there's another little fabrication area. Like there's probably a lot. Oh my gosh, they got like 20 of these printers just lined up. Okay, well I may have to go to Ottawa.
Wow, really?
That's amazing.
Yeah, sometimes you'll get access to a plasma cutter if you want to cut sheets of steel. Or CNC routers. And of course, the major benefit is being in the same space as other people who have the technical skills and are willing to share that knowledge.
Yeah. Knowledge is power. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm. Also, Bill, lasers are power. Lasers are definitely
power. Oh, there's so much power in a laser. Yeah, right in your eye. Be careful, everybody. Be careful out there.
No, you could do LASIK in a makerspace now. It's great.
Yeah, why not?
Hold the head steady. And
sure. All kinds of major surgeries happening at your local makerspace. Bill, you always also leave us with some sort of recommendation to people to check out. What do you got for us this week?
All right, just drop the YouTube link in the chat there. My friend Grace, she goes by Zombie, is awesome. She just finished
her
Crusader costume from Diablo.
Oh my god!
And it's wicked cool.
Oh my god!
You can tell when she hits the door frame that it's foam. Like
Oh my gosh! This is great.
That's so cool,
Johanna, dude.
She's got some serious eyelashes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she's not kidding around with those eyelashes. She's got more than I'll ever have.
Grace has been really killing it with the videos lately. Folks are into seeing a really cool, awesome and exciting woman make really, really cool costumes and props. Then go subscribe to Zon Zon Zombie on YouTube.
That's a very particular, specific gear set.
Yes.
That she's doing there that I have on my male Crusader in the game. Man, and the eyelashes. Not that she, I don't know if she crafted her own, but she's Louisa. She's got some eyelashes. All right.
Those are foam, too.
Okay, great. Always foam. Always go with foam. All right, well, do check that out. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Punishprops.com. Chimbeard on Twitter. Bill, anything else before I let you go, sir?
Nope.
Then stay out of trouble, you weirdo.
See you,
okay, see you later. Okay. I guess we could do jury now. I don't know.
Okay, if we have to, you know.
It's fine. It's fine. Let's get him in here. See what's going on. His neck of the woods. As the kids are fond of saying. It's a chance for us to catch up with him and see what his world looks like.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Justin Robert Young, a frequent contributor to the show and political correspondent for TMS. Justin
and XSplit user.
Yes. Oh my God, this, yeah, you guys, jeez.
What the hell's going on?
It's an audio podcast for most people. Give me 5 seconds.
It's fine. We'll listen, it's true. There's this live component, though, that loves to look at your XSplit logo. I don't know if XSplit's paying you any money.
I haven't streamed in a few days. I got everything else ready, and I forgot that I had to do this. Well, actually...
Are you okay? You haven't streamed in a few days?
Yeah, everything all right? What's going on?
I don't know if I have to do this for Discord. This was a Skype workaround that I had to stream from Wirecast to XSplit so Skype would pick it up.
Oh.
But I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm
you're showing up now, so you look good. You got your...
No. Well, now, I mean, I know it works here, so, you know, that's the rule in live streaming is if it works... For God's sakes, don't touch it.
Yeah, don't go anywhere near it. We had a power outage earlier that just about destroyed today's show, so we completely understand where you're coming from. Hey, jury, Justin Robert Young, jury duty. What's going on with you, man? I know I got to say something before we get started here, and that is, and I do think we should do a little political catch up on the week's events because some stuff went down.
Yeah, we had all sorts of things going on. In interesting. The world of politics.
But I just got to say, you went to a wedding some days ago. With your
Saturday,
wife.
Yeah. Went back to Florida. The lovely wedding. Congratulations to Justin and Annie, the lovely couple.
Yes. Aww. And your Twitter account featured a photo you took of you and your wife as you were headed to the event. Yeah. And you and Ashley looked nothing like you and Ashley to me.
Really? Oh, and I need to go back and look at the Twitter.
Was this our douchebag shot?
I'm trying to find it now. In your sea of gifts that you've posted, I can't find it. Nope.
Are you maybe thinking of Instagram?
Maybe I'm thinking of Instagram. That might be it. Anywhere.
Insta that? Yeah.
Yeah.
.com/JustinRYoung. Feel free to follow me. Posting Insta stories lately. It's a fun time on Instagram.
Yeah. And the photo of you and her,
Graham, Scott.
You guys don't look anything like yourselves. I don't know who those people are. Those are very different human beings. And I wish I could show the chat. I can't. You guys will have to go look it up on your own. Because I don't have it here. But it's something else to behold.
It's a visual. It's a live visual medium, Scott. You know, you got to remember, it's a live visual medium. So you should remember.
Oh, I love it. Look at you guys. Wow. It's like I'm looking at a fashion website for high-end sunglasses.
Yep.
There was, yeah, somebody made that comment. I don't know. Yeah, we look, for whatever reason, we when we clean up and put on sunglasses, we look like your impossible friend from high school that...
Yeah, you know what it made me want to do? It made me want to play, let's see, it made me want to play this. Getting on the yacht. Get a little bit of wine flowing. Little Africa in your life?
No, totally. Yeah, giving stock tips that are clearly wrong between rails of coke.
Yes, all that and more. All right, let's do a quick catch up on the political goings on of the last week. We had a professional, now and I think more of a producer role, but nonetheless a professional pornographic actress, get on 60 Minutes and be interviewed about her alleged affair with Donald J. Trump, current president of the United States.
Indeed.
A lot of people just probably want to know what came of that. Like, what was the point of that?
Well, hold on. What did you guys think of it? What was your reaction? I assume you both saw it.
I've just seen highlights.
I haven't seen the full interview.
Same.
The
full interview. Same. Yeah. I've seen highlights as well because I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it.
Why couldn't you watch it?
I don't know.
So much about politics.
I know.
You really want to dedicate a portion of your show to this, and you haven't seen it. It seems so weird.
I got highlights, and not only that, I got, you know, the big takeaways, and I read a bunch of stuff. So I familiarized myself with what went down, but I don't know how into the circus I am. You know, like I'll tell you what was hard for me. So here, this will give you probably a better idea of why this was hard for me to want to watch. I watched Wiener the other day, the documentary about Anthony Wiener.
Oh.
And, it might be tomorrow's recommendal. I got to decide, but, it's on Hulu right now. And it's this documentary where in the middle of making this documentary, which was supposed to be about his big comeback to be,
mayor of New York.
And it looked like he was actually going to pull it off. Then he did his thing again in the middle of this thing.
Well, it was revealed that he had not stopped doing it.
Right. And it happened mid-documentary creation. And I love when that happens. This is also true of Icarus, the documentary that won Best Long-Form Documentary at the Oscars this year. Something happens in real time while you're making your movie. Those are great documentaries. Things that you know, kind of tip everything on its head.
Well, really, I mean, there are kind of two documentaries. There's the like live car crash documentary where your story is kind of unfolding, or you are descending upon something that is very obviously unfolding and you have access. And then there's the other documentaries, which even the best ones that I really like have to kind of do a little narrative creation. Like they got to build a story inside of it. And that's kind of like, you know, King of Kong would probably be an example of that, where the story that they told was not quite the story that actually happened, but it was an expedited, interesting version of that.
That's a good way to put it.
Untrue. It was edited for time and content.
Yeah, I agree. There are those kind. They're pretty distinctly different. Those two types. And this type is the things unfold as you go. And there were probably I may be underestimating or overestimating. There were probably five different times in this documentary I had to pause and not look at it for a bit. Like I just,
so awkward.
Oh my gosh.
Happening was so awkward.
Yeah. Like he was, that guy, that is absolutely, people should see that movie, but it's so uncomfortable. and his wife, who we only know as like this, you know, if you pay attention to the news at all, it's like, oh, Huma Abedin, the right-hand woman of Hillary Clinton. And she's the this and that and the other, and you don't really have a real picture of the human that is the person that they're talking about.
Right.
And when you see her in a room after her husband does it again, and her trying to keep a face and trying to figure out what she's going to do, and knowing and just seeing in her face how much she just wants to kick him in the nuts as hard as she can, and him just kind of being like, well, it's just one more obstacle we got to get over. Maybe we can turn it to our advantage. And he's just this little spastic little apologist for what he did. And now he's in prison for what? Another, I don't know how many months, for sexting a 15-year-old.
They're not getting divorced, though, apparently. Even after he then did it again, and by statistical evaluation might have cost Hillary Clinton the White House, because that re-triggered the Comey investigation. You know, that they're still not getting divorced. I mean, true love prevails.
I guess, or something else going on. That's why people need to see this thing. Like, they just kind of turn the cameras on and then they just let them roll and they let people talk. It's not one of these super edited, narrated things. And as a result, there are moments of genuine awkwardness that is hard to describe. Like, if you could take the original British Office and somehow turn that into a pure liquid of awkwardity, And then
it is the pure MDMA of that level of awkward.
Yes, it's the actual cannabis oil. We're getting right down to the root here of awkwardness. And this documentary is full of that. So there were moments where I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to do this. I had to pause it and I had to kind of stand back. So
that's what you're afraid the 60 Minutes thing was basically going to be too then.
I just don't want to. What I didn't want to sit there and listen to, like, I already know he's a total complete douchebag and he's a freaking big giant liar and all these things I already think about Trump. I don't know if I needed the reinforcement of this like seedy little side thing that was going on that may actually end up being a big deal because of where the funds came from to shut her up and whether the allegations of that she was forcibly shut up are true or not. And all those things.
Threatening her daughter. And
sure. All that stuff adds to the actual, you know, quote unquote importance of maybe what this case is about. Okay. Yeah. But the actual salacious details of, I didn't know what I'd get, right? Like if I was going to watch it, is she going to go, his penis is the size of a freaking candy corn or whatever.
A candy corn. Oh, good Lord. That's a tiny penis.
Is it whiter on top?
Yeah. More orange the closer
orange
you get.
Orange stem.
Yeah. It's like an orange stem. It's like it's the colors of the Cleveland Browns. Anyway, the point is, that's why I think I avoided it. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. And anyway, so I'm curious from, you know, now that we know what came out of it or whatever, which wasn't a ton. I mean, it was mostly just stuff we already heard before. And apparently her lawyer's got some DVD with a bunch of stuff on it. Who knows if that ever sees the light of day.
Which
but
they, like, teased and then didn't do anything with.
Didn't do
right,
exactly.
Yeah, like, a picture tells 1,000 words. How much is this worth? And no mention of that ever again.
Yeah. So maybe they have something, maybe they don't. But my point is, it is deafening how quiet Donald J. Trump's Twitter has been since all this stuff started happening. And that's interesting because any other kind of kerfuffle, he's like first thing in the morning, bah, 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 psycho monkey butt, whatever name.
News thing at some point over the weekend.
I think Brian's got where I was going to go, which is that he has said, you know, fake news has never been more fake, but the country's doing great. So that might be him doing it. Look,
and
that
he used
guy's
the weirdest. He used the weird, like, more voluminous or something like that. Like he,
did he?
He used a word that wasn't typical.
But
Donald
he wasn't.
Trump.
But my point is, he was being vague about what he was talking about, and so some lawyers actually told him to shut up on this one. Is what's going on, right?
No.
No.
I mean, well, people can tell him to shut up, but that hasn't stopped him going after like Robert Mueller, which will almost certainly have harsher legal repercussions than this. I mean, look, here's the Stormy Daniels thing. Unless Robert Mueller decides to expand his investigation, which is possible, ask Ken Starr and Bill Clinton that sometimes things that are not connected to the initial thrust of an investigation can find their way into becoming part of it. But until that happens, or until we get word that Donald Trump was asked under oath that he was, whether or not he was involved with Stormy Daniels, and they ask him specific questions about it, then this doesn't really mean much. As the CNN piece, or sorry, the CBS piece, I'm getting confused because Anderson Cooper did it, makes it out. This is an FEC situation, the Federal Elections Commission, which in general, I'm not saying this is right. I'm not saying this is how it should be. I'm saying that the FEC will lobby a fine and you have to pay the fine. Donald Trump is going to have no problem paying the fine. In fact, as I said in the politics newsletter, which you can sign up for tinyletter.com/Justin Robert Young, that his lawyer, Michael Cohen, would do a naked cannonball into a kiddie pool full of broken glass if it meant that this went away tomorrow. So like, this is not a, if we are in the scope of the punishment for this being a Federal Elections Commission fine, then I would advise everybody, unless you're just here for the poop show like I am, in that case, waft the smell toward you ever so gently. But otherwise, if you want this to take down Donald Trump, it's not. And unless Robert Mueller expands his investigation. Which,
yeah.
I mean, and even then, the question would be, does Donald Trump perjure himself to say that he did not do it as he is now doing publicly? There's no Right. Like, unless you want to count, you know, morality and, you know, the whatever of the office, there is no crime in him saying.
It's not illegal to get with a porn star.
It's not illegal to say that I didn't do it, right? Yeah. Right?
Well, it's illegal to use campaign funds to shut somebody up and threaten their lives. That's
it is, well, so I would be careful about putting those two things in the same sentence. It is far closer to provable right now that there's some kind of crime by Michael Cohen, his lawyer, mm-hmm. for having an in-kind donation to the campaign, and then as the 60 Minutes piece goes on, if Donald Trump reimbursed him, it's a different kind of problem. But again, then we're talking about a financial fine for Michael Cohen here.
That's as big as that gets as a fine.
If we're talking about just that, about campaign funds or what went wrong by way of the Federal Elections Commission,
yeah,
that's what we're talking about with that. Which I think if Michael Cohen went to jail for Donald Trump, he would do a cartwheel at how great everything had worked out.
yeah.
The other side is, if, you know, all right, so she was threatened. But right now, that is an allegation made by Stormy Daniels. And I don't even know if she has included that in any of the lawsuits. That is just a part of her story that she has told, that as of now, we don't know. She is the only one saying this. There's no corroborating witness, and there's no connection to Donald Trump, except for the fact that, according to her, she said that the dude said, don't talk about Donald Trump, and then said, you know, it's a shame if something happened to her mom.
Yeah.
And, like, you can take that for whatever you want. I would be inclined to say that somebody in that orbit, you know, might have done that. And it doesn't seem wholly unreasonable to me. But the idea of that it was directed by Trump, we are miles away from that specific.
Evidence speaking, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, and part of why I didn't care to watch the thing was, you know, it's just a circus, just a shit show for. Oh, where's my swear jar? I'm gonna put a coin in it. We got a guy who thinks I swear too much on the show, but anyway. Part of it was me knowing all of this that you just said, and just saying, do I need more of this in my life? Can I have a little less of this? Like, right now we're you know, it's like ghosts of Clinton denying sexual relations with people, and I didn't like it then. I don't like it now. Like, it's just all just like, ugh, gross. All right, have fun. Y'all do what you got to do. And I was curious from your take, which you've given, about whether any of this has any real impact on anything other than everyone else's continued disdain or their other side's continued, you know, love of how roguish this is or whatever.
I love embarrassing people in power. I think that that's great. It's healthy for our democracy. We should ridicule our leaders early and often. I think it is good. It is what we should be teaching in social studies classes, is that we should look at the people that are elected officials and we should find ways to make fun of them, because it to me reminds us that we actually run the government, not these people that are placed there, and we should understand that they are human and not gods. However, if you are looking at this politically and strategically, then there's not, again, unless Mueller decides to make this a focus of that investigation, which is not impossible, but it's not happened yet, then there's not much here that will take him down, IMO. But it actually does bring up one thing that I've been thinking a lot about. This is my new thing on this show, is I want to get into these big sweeping rants.
You're right.
I don't know when this happened, or if I'm just realizing it now and it's always been this way. But now that we are very, very, very much into politics, it kind of blows me away when people take political talking points and confuse them with facts. Mm. Like, that anything that is said by a politician is not real. They're not actual facts. They are cherry-picked, shaped and manicured to benefit that party. Now, you might root for one party or another, and you might have it in your interest to say, me repeating these facts are going to further my interest because it will put the party that I care about in power. But we should, for I don't know, in my mind I feel like we lost our way, and we for some reason now confuse this with like, oh well, no, but that's not true because something I heard from a politician. Or now we have, you know, like 24-hour news networks that just kind of parrot these talking points and act like they're real things. They're not, and they never have been, nor should they be. If you're a politician, your job is to tell these very specific, narrowly, like legalese versions of the truth.
Well, and that's become their job. I don't know that everybody thinks that should continue to be their job. This is the one place I agree with Trumpers on. Traditional politics are lame. I'd like to have something different and a little shooken up. I don't necessarily want a giant orange whale with a tiny penis to do it. But you know, somebody to walk in there and go, well, actually, your job isn't to tell us little slivers of truth or the convenient truths or whatever. Why don't you come in here and let's just call it what it is. Do the thing you got to do. Quit taking special interest money and freaking do something right for people. Like, it sounds corny and like it's right out of Boy's Life, but damn it, I like it. So that's
sure.
What I want.
Well, number one, traditionally whales have very large penises, but
well, that's why I give him special.
Sure, maybe. Okay, that yes, we would all like for you know, a lion to not eat a gazelle, but rather to recite Shakespeare. Cool. We can all imagine that one day that would happen, but it hasn't happened with Trump. It hasn't happened with anybody else who's gonna just tell you the plain facts. Telling you the plain facts is basically you saying, look, I'm going to find a new way to get you into the booth to vote for me. This is the job of a politician, is to get elected. What they do while they're there is inconsequential, except where it affects them being able to get elected again. That is their actual job. Like, so yes, we could live in this fantasy world where everybody is acting by their morals and you know, connecting with each other. But that's not their job. By the way, it's ours as a populace. It's our job to know what we want. It's our job to communicate with each other. And then it's our job to tell them what they should do. And if they don't do it, we should vote them out.
Yeah. My whole point is that we are shitty at it. I'm not... Oh, another coin. Hold on. that we're the ones that are bad at this. I understand. I understand that what you're saying is they've got to get themselves elected no matter what the cost. And I know my stance on this stuff is a little naive, but I'd still like to see it one day. I'd like to see a point where society, our specific little corner of the world, has figured out a way to move past this, use our heads a little bit, and not do this anymore. I don't think it's the same as a gazelle taking down a whatever, or a lion taking down a gazelle. Those are, you know, instincts they cannot evolve out of. If you're saying we can't evolve out of what we do with politics, then I don't think I agree with that. I think we can find a way. We've evolved out of lots of bad behaviors. We can evolve out of that one.
I guess my point is, I don't have a lot of high expectations for politicians. And I believe that they are best used as rudimentary tools to get things that we want done, not to elect people that are going to have the great ideas that move us forward. There just seems in maybe I'm just getting old, maybe this is literally just me passing 35 and now like looking at locked in collision course with old age and bitterness, but it's I just see so much of the other person should do it. The politician should do it. The Broward High School kid should do it. Like that, you know, that there's all this like, well, thank you for other person, where it's like, no, it all starts with us. Mm-hmm. It all flows from us. We are the people that move the needle. We are the people that elect them. We are the people that vote for them. We are the people that should be programming their agenda. And for all the opinions that we all have, there is precious little organizing and action. That's why, look, for whatever you think about that March for Your Lives thing over the weekend, I'm excited that they went out and did it. I think that they are, listen, they're making a political point, and you have plenty of cover to argue or quibble with their political points. And I have arguments and quibbles about their political points that I'll probably say weeks from now when it's not as hot as it is. But at the same time, I'm excited that they went out and did something. And I just wish that there was more, I should do stuff like that, and less, oh my God, thank you for them.
No, I agree. I don't disagree with that. It does start with individuals, and I am 100% with that. And I would just say that something isn't working right when our most recent presidential election were the two least popular people. It should be the opposite of that. It should be two of the best possible people. It should be the best we can muster. It should be the brightest minds and the clearest hearts and the ready to goes. Like, it shouldn't be turd sandwich and what's the other one that South Park always talks about? It shouldn't be between a, I can't remember what it was, something in a turd sandwich. A poop? I don't remember.
Oh, it's like, So is it a douchebag and a
That's it, douchebag and a turd sandwich. It shouldn't be that. Why it's that, I don't know. Maybe, you know, more study is needed. Maybe we do suck. Maybe we never evolve out of it. But I
well, because
it drives
again,
me crazy.
It is a specific job to get elected. And Evan the attorney, my chat room nemesis. Let me read. It's a politician's job to actually get things done. Hard for me to type this on a small phone, but jury represents a sadly cynical view. I don't think that I'm cynical. I honestly don't. I think that it is a politician. A politician wakes up every day and says, how did I get elected last time? How can I get elected next time? That is what keeps them in the loop. Now, they then should be doing things. I'm not saying that it's not a politician's job to get things done. I'm saying it's a politician's job, in my view, personally, that it's a politician's job to listen to the people and do what the people want. Not necessarily to be philosopher kings and do what they believe is best for everybody. And that is a difference in philosophical points of view. That is like representative democracy versus I can't remember the other part.
right.
But as he also pointed out, my degree is in journalism and not political science. I'm sure he can correct everybody in the chat room.
That was some sweet shade. I didn't see that one. That's pretty pretty hardcore, man. I like this.
All I'm saying is that this is all we can ask is that we have politicians that are honest with their representation with their representatives and tries to do the best to represent the electorate that put them in there and hopefully their voting share at large to do the best thing for them. And beyond that, I think that they should be roundly mocked and humiliated.
Well, I agree there. I think the mocked and humiliation bit is great from, you know, at the very least, someone should be able to do a good impression on SNL. Like, that's the baseline. You got to at least have that, which is kind of what you had with Obama. People tiptoed around him a lot. But you could do, you know, Fred Armisen had a pretty good Obama.
Presidential comedy with Obama was weird because nobody wanted to get in because it had the racial component. Nobody wanted to get near it. Whereas this, the political comedy with Trump is like, it's certainly there's far more of it, but it's just so low hanging. It is.
Whether it's that the Comedy Central thing or the animated, you know, my animated
it's all
president,
like
it is.
Kofifi and right, exactly.
It is. It's almost too easy.
A bizarre person. Like, I feel like there's so many rich areas to kind of mock him. Like I like that candy corn penis thing. That was pretty
cool. Yeah,
that's a take that we haven't had before. Is candy corn penis.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go forward with it. I'm gonna keep using it. I'm gonna see if I can capitalize on that word. I'm just saying, hey, humankind. Let's see if we can't do a little better next time. Maybe we can not have the two least popular people in the world run, and instead maybe have they don't have to
well,
be
look,
popular.
I mean,
but
I think that there is. I think that part of that is the reason why both parties are in upheaval. You know, we saw kind of revolts in both parties, and in the Republican Party, it worked. It put, you know, the revolting candidate, take that however you want, in power, and in the Democratic side, it did not. You know, Bernie Sanders got close, but no cigar, and you can make the argument that he never really had a shot, as I have many times. But there is deep unhappiness with how we put people forth in either party.
Yeah.
And that was on display last cycle. And it'll be curious to see how the Democrats handle it this cycle. I think that we are going to see a very wide open primary.
They'll probably screw it up, though. They'll screw it up.
Apparently now will include
I don't have a lot of faith that they won't, but yeah, I'm very cynical about them fixing that. But anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I mean, look, we're already getting Joe Biden saying that he would have beat up Trump when he was in high school. Right,
behind the gym, yeah.
That was a fun exchange. That was all right. It was like pro wrestling. I enjoyed
that. That two old men were barking at each other from across the bar.
Yeah.
Mister, we're going to get you in the ring, and then I'm going to take you down.
For generally a political system, Joe Biden being a part of it for a very long time, that generally thinks that women are lesser able to handle emotional situations that come from politics, having the most emotional freaking penis fight on the internet ever. Like, really, give me a freaking break.
By the way, also, do me a favor. Go ahead and take a wild guess at the first time that in a field that will include several strong women and at least one woman of color, how long it will take before Joe Biden says something so horrifying he has to apologize for.
Oh, it'll happen.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
By the way, the same dude who, like, and everybody forgets it because everybody wants to do the BFFs of the White House shtick. But the same dude that in the 2008 campaign when they were both running for president called Obama clean and nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did, which is so weird. And a little racist. All right. Well, here's what the answer is.
Opioids.
Just a little.
Opioids. That's the answer.
Towel racism.
Yeah, always.
Opioids.
All right, opioids. Let's do it. Hey, later on, let's not do opioids. Kids, stay away from them. They're trouble.
No.
Later on today, that is to be 1 p.m. Mountain Time, 12 p.m. Pacific. Justin and I will be at it again with another deep conversation, this time about the world's most perplexing of social issues, and that is CrossFit.
Yes! Oh,
wow.
Yes! You remembered it! And
there's a reason I remembered it. I have a friend who is very, very devoted to CrossFit, and he and I have had a bunch of preliminary discussions this week in the lead up to this so that I could be vastly more prepared for the discussion.
It fits in with the joke, too. How do you know that somebody's into CrossFit? They won't shut up about CrossFit.
It's true.
No, in my research for this episode, not only did I learn a lot more about it, it is kind of a fascinating organization of in terms of how it was started and how it's run. There are a lot of very aggressive elements to the leadership of CrossFit, and some of that I think is baked in, but also some scientific anthropological reasons why people are so into CrossFit, which I think people will find interesting. I have no idea how many people are going to call in on this. I assume it will mostly be CrossFitters, unless there are other. Because apparently, the real big community that rubs that CrossFitters rub the wrong way are other people who are really into fitness.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of seems like fitness in general is a very weird thing.
Yeah,
like, it is just a weird place for people.
It is, and it vacillates, and eggs are good for you, eggs are bad for you, kind of way, and. Like, it's never the same, and the fact that there's infighting between some fit people and other fit people is kind of funny. Like, there's some competition to, you know, own the top seed of what's the best way to get yourself in shape or to live the healthiest lifestyle is kind of fascinating. It's got there's a religion to it that is
interesting. No. Religion is a great word because it kind of has this, you know, I turned a corner on how I understood religion as somebody who is not religious when I kind of put myself in the perspective of somebody that was religious, that was like evangelically religious, and said, like, all right, if I liked somebody, if I thought they were a really cool person and I believed that they were going to hell, how would I react? I would probably react in a very aggressive manner because I didn't want my friend to go to hell. And in the same way, fitness is like, man, if you believe that, like, your life has been bettered tremendously from this and you can show the results and you can say, well, look at this picture 2 years ago and look at me now, mm-hmm. and how much more I've gotten done, you would want to spread the good news. And there's a lot of kind of medical and science backing to that as well.
I would love to hear from some people calling in who said, I was super into it until that time I Everyone was yelling for me, and I was like, all right, I can do this. And I bench pressed 400 pounds, and my butthole shot across the room. Like, I want to hear from some of those people who've had, you know, some of those. It's dangerous sometimes how far they go.
Who separated his muscle from his bone.
Oh, my gosh, Brian. Really?
We will get into that. There is a specific term that I don't dare even try to pronounce until I literally have to on the show that is like seen only in like ultra marathoners and CrossFitters. Like, so people that are doing like 17, 20 miles at a time and the dude who goes to a gym around your block.
Right.
So
right.
It is a fascinating thing, but that's part of their shtick. We're literally doing the show right now.
Yeah, we're doing it. Yeah, it's already over. Fine. We've done it. I recorded all that. Don't worry. I'll put it up on the feed. Everything will be fine. No, we'll do this for real. At 1 o'clock, come back. Be a part of the caller ship today. It's the normal time, 1 p.m. Mountain, 12 p.m. Justin time, which is Pacific. Justin, anything else you want to mention that's happening this week before we go?
Go ahead and check me out right after the morning stream, twitch.tv/JustinRYoung, if you want to go ahead and continue to talk about politics. That is where I do that right up until Unfriend Me Records live. So I will see you guys there.
Justin R. Young on Twitter. Oh, he hung up on me. That
wow, he's fast. Should you remove him? Remove that man.
He is removed. Gosh dang, he screws up my focus window. There we go.
I know, yeah, too.
He really knows. He really messing with me.
I lose focus when he leaves.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. SNES Chambler 47. I did not mean to make you spit your drink when I said butthole shot across the
room.
That's
Super Nintendo Chalmers 47.
Yeah, Super Nintendo Chalmers. Absolutely. That's right. All right, real quick here. Let's do a quick end times featuring a fireside story about Thick and Liquid. Now,
oh God, okay.
I'm told by Jamie that this was much requested by people on Twitter, and I don't remember this story other than maybe this is just you and I trying our first Thick and Liquid.
It's not a story as much as it's a very condensed history of the Thick and Liquid.
Okay.
Like us trying Thick and Liquid.
Okay. Which you in particular have a serious problem with. Not serious, but you know what I mean. Well, you don't like it.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. But I haven't heard this, so I don't remember what this is at all. So I'm going to play it fresh for the first time. Enjoy. This is the Thick and Liquid episode of the show. Here you go.
Once again, pull up a chair as Scott and Brian share a story by the fire. What will they talk about today?
It's thick, disgusting, viscous food time. It is thickened Imperial Cisco thickened apple juice is what I'm having. Brian is having what? Describe it.
It is nectar consistency Aqua Care H2O thickened regular coffee.
Whoa.
Oral hydration for the management of dysphagia.
Now I wonder how common dysphagia is. We don't want to ever, obviously we're not making light of it. Let's give it a shot. Ooh, it smells like apple juice, so I'm right there. All right, Brian, you ready?
Poured it into a shot glass. This is the grossest thing ever.
Ooh, it's weird. It tastes fine, but that's really weird. It's like Jell-O that hasn't quite set.
Oh, yes, I almost heaved. I think the chat will saw that expression on my face, like, whoa, this is coming back up.
That's great.
Like, drink some regular coffee and watch this.
That's great, because we got more to do.
Oh, no. We're done. I'm done with this box. Okay. I'm done with this box.
You guys, Brian, the Death Star Brian, we have found the little hole you can shoot torpedoes in.
Totally have.
We found your weakness.
My exhaust port.
I have so many weaknesses. Brian's has finally been revealed. I know what to do now. This is great.
Oh my God.
Hey, Brian, come on over to the house. I've got some thickened up.
No.
But was it good?
Yeah, what did it taste like? That's
mine
the question.
Mine tasted like there was like a little bit. It was a very artificial coffee flavor. It tasted like, what is it? I mean, it was like a...
I'm not hating this.
Like a thick milk coffee. Yeah, not like
you
very...
You just have to try one of these fruit ones because they're different. Maybe one more.
No, I didn't get a fruit one.
Oh, you didn't?
I got, I got iced tea, this coffee, and then a big can of pureed French toast.
And also, you know what you got from him? A bad case of whatever the opposite of dysplasia is.
Right. That's what you right. got. Oh, my God. Yes, exactly.
A bad case of the opposite of dysplasia. I don't even know what I meant by that.
I don't know either. I thought I could have sworn that was the day that I made that.
Oh, like, the barf sound? I don't think so. I think that was from... What was that from? You ate something else that made you gag.
Yeah, I can't remember what that was. Oh, That was the dried squid or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was dried squid. And I love dried squid, and you were loved not it. Enjoying it.
I was the opposite of loved dried squid.
I'm going to yes. find it. Where is it? Here it is. I love that so much.
Oh, my God.
You like that, Genie? You into it? All right. Anyway.
It's much better than the sound that we have from Daryl, where he makes that same, like...
And then there's that guy. Oh, man. Anyway, there you go. I'm not eating that cricket again, ever. That's the one that really got me, was the cricket. That was rough.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a problem with the cricket.
And I kept control with the duck egg. I didn't die.
I know. Like I was very impressed. I don't know if I would have been able to do it. I don't think so.
I think you... Well, look at it this way. You never have to. You don't have to now.
That's right. Oh, thank
God. We're done. Thank you all for being here. We're going to be back tomorrow, Wednesday business, all lined up. It's going to be fun. Patreon.com/TMS is where to support the show. If you like the show, and I know many, many of you do, that's why you're listening. Support me and Brian. We need it. Patreon.com/TMS. You can find all the great ways to do it there. You can also find us at frogpants.com/TMS. Email your comments to themorningstream@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter @MorningStream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. All right, Brian, we go now, but you play a thing. You play a thing.
Sure. Well, Trent from the great state of Washington wrote in and said, "Dear Sasquatch and Bigfoot, Tuesday, March 27th will mark 9 years of being married to my amazing wife, Jill. She doesn't listen to the show, so this request is for me and for those in the tadpole. This song is a gender-switched cover of Nina Simone's Be My Husband. I've always liked how Jeff Buckley can perform such a compelling song with just his voice, stomps, and claps. Always eat the froyo, signed Trent."
Nice.
So Jeff Buckley, he's Tim Buckley's son, but he might also be familiar to people with his cover of Hallelujah. One of the classic covers of Hallelujah was his. And he died under mysterious circumstances, went swimming in the Mississippi River and... Ugh. After a gig, stripped down, jumped in the Mississippi River after, you know, a late concert performance. And then, I don't think he disappeared, but he died in
just weird circumstances. Just drowned in there and they found his body kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. That's sad.
Sorry to bring y'all down. But anyway, before he did that, he recorded this cover of Nina Simone's Be Your Husband. It's a little bit different song than usually here at the end of the show here, because there's no instruments. It's a cappella with stomps and claps and Jeff Buckley's amazing voice. Here is Be Your Husband from Live at Cine, from Jeff Buckley. Be Your Husband.
All right, here it is.
I'm like, what more can I say about that I haven't said? And originally by Nina Simone, and there you go, it's all covered.
Nailed it. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back now. You hear?
Be your husband if you be my wife. Be your husband if you be my wife. Be your husband if you be my wife. Love it. Johnny Lee, yeah. Oh. treat me so well. Doggone me, yeah. Don't you treat me so. Doggone me, hey. Don't treat me so. Doggone me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Well, the turkey's done.